This is Richard, your transmitter wrangler. We're sheltering in place up here on Eminence Ridge, and you're listening to KWMR Point Reyes Station. KWMR is supported by Tony's Seafood, a part of the Hog Island Oyster family. Online at tonysseafoodrestaurant.com.
KWMR is supported by our listener members and by the Maritime Radio Historical Society. Online at radiomarine.org. That's radio, MARINE.ORG. The National Weather Service has issued a surf advisory. There is an increased risk of sneaker waves and rip currents, and unsuspecting people could get washed into the surf. Use caution when visiting beaches, and do not turn your back on the ocean. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. I'm your host, Jeff Manson, and today our guest is Heather Dennis, a long-term planner for the Community Development Agency for the County of Marin. Heather, thanks so much for taking some time to come on the KWMR airwaves today.
Thanks for having me.
So Stinson Beach is one of the communities in West Marin that is vulnerable to sea level rise, and in fact could be experiencing up to 10 feet of sea level rise by the year 2100. Sounds a long way out, but maybe it's less far than we realize, less far all the time. Anyway, it's making it one of many Marin County communities that is prioritizing climate change adaptation. And thanks to a grant from the California Ocean Protection Council, a new adaptation and resilience collaboration project is going to be getting underway in Stinson Beach starting this May. So we're going to be hearing a bit about that in the next half an hour. Heather Dennis, let's start with the big picture. Why is a community like Stinson Beach particularly vulnerable to sea level rise?
Yeah, so Stinson Beach is one of seven communities that we are focused on for sea level rise planning within the Community Development Agency at the County of Marin. And Stinson Beach is unique because it's nestled between the Pacific Ocean, Bolinas Lagoon, and then there's also East Scoot Creek coming up kind of behind the town. And because of that, it's kind of this, there's kind of a triple threat going on in terms of flooding. And Stinson Beach actually already sees storm and tidal impacts today when we have extreme tides or there's storm surge or things like that. And we can only expect for those severe storms and flooding to become more disruptive as climate changes and the sea levels rise. So Stinson Beach, because it has kind of this triple threat of flooding, the low-lying areas of Stinson Beach may be some of the most impacted built assets in West Marin. And again, as I said, the community already sees storm and tidal impacts today through those extreme tides.
So what is the California Ocean Protection Council? Tell our listeners a little bit about that organization, and what is the significance of this big grant that has been awarded for the project?
Yeah, so the Ocean Protection Council is a California state agency whose mission is to ensure that California maintains a healthy, resilient, and productive ocean and coastal ecosystem for the benefit of current and future generations. So we are one of the Community Development Agency, and this $396,000 grant is one of 15 projects that was just recently approved by the Ocean Protection Council Board to be funded under the current round of Proposition 68 Coastal Resilience Grants, which are dispersed by OPC, totaling $8 million of coastal resilience projects all along up and down the coast of California. So Prop 68 was voted on in 2018 by all of us. And it's a drought, water, parks, and climate, coastal protection, and outdoor access for all programs. So this grant kind of falls under this adaptation planning, sea level rise, climate change planning grant falls under that category. And the significance of the grant is that essentially we at the Community Development Agency and the County of Marin have been this isn't our first dive into sea level rise and climate change adaptation planning in West Marin by any means. It's a continuation of the work that we've already done, and it builds upon it, and it's kind of the natural next step in terms of actually coming to implementable adaptation strategies that can really create a more resilient West Marin coast into the future with an uncertain climate. So in 2016, we published the Sea Smart Vulnerability Assessment, I should have written out that acronym because I always forget it. But Sea Smart is the County of Marin's West Marin Sea Level Rise Planning Project. We also have BayWave, which is another acronym for the Bay side of the County of Marin. But so we published this vulnerability assessment in 2016 that looked at all seven of the West Marin communities and did a vulnerability assessment. So we kind of overlaid critical assets throughout the area, both natural and built assets, with varying sea level rise and storm scenarios and erosion and wave action scenarios. And really that gave us a really good picture of what assets are vulnerable within each community. So for Stinson, that really told us that the homes and the buildings and the facilities west of Shoreline Highway are vulnerable to storm impacts, septic failure, water distribution, pipe failure, and flooding in the near term. Those are the most vulnerable in that community. That Calle del Arroyo, which is a primary access road to a lot of the community, is vulnerable in the near term. And that flooding from Bolinas and East Scoot Creek that already occur will likely worsen, along with future beach loss in long-term scenarios and accelerated erosion. So I know that's like a big list of scary things, but the good news is after we identified all of those vulnerabilities, knowledge is power, right? So from there, we were able to publish an adaptation report that came out in 2018 that for each of the seven communities came up with adaptation strategies to address those vulnerabilities. So, you know, one potential adaptation strategy is that we build a dune system in Stinson Beach that helps kind of attenuate or stop or buffer wave action from storms and sea level rise. There's simpler solutions like sandbags for the near term. Road elevation is out there. There's all sorts of options, and that's kind of what led us to where we're at now, is that adaptation report gave us all of the options. So if you were to look at that report on marinslr.org, you would see that there's a map of Stinson Beach, and it's got like 40 potential adaptation strategies to address the vulnerabilities that were identified in the vulnerability assessment. And that's awesome. It gives us a really great place to start, but it didn't quite go to the point of actually telling us which adaptations we should choose, when we should choose them, how we should go about doing them, what the benefits and costs of them are, both economically and environmentally in terms of ecosystem impacts and services. So that's the significance of this project, is we're able to take all of this information that we've kind of developed and researched over the past close to a decade, maybe less than a decade, but give or take, and we're hoping to take all of that information and package it up into something that gets us closer to something that can actually be implemented on the ground, that has kind of all of the information that's needed in order to get to that point, and also has robust community support and is feasible in terms of all the questions of feasibility, both, again, economic, environmental, permitting, all that jazz. And we intend for the project to be very, very community-driven. The way that we're designing it, we are really planning to pretty much hand over ownership of the project to the community and will be more of the guide throughout the process and, you know, hire the consultants and all of that, but really put the ownership of the project into the hands of the community members who are going to be impacted by sea level rise and climate change in the future, to make sure that whatever we develop has community support and has potential to actually lead to a more resilient future on the coast.
Friends, if you're just joining us today, our guest on Epicenter is Heather Dennis, who is with the Community Development Agency for the County of Marin. We're talking about sea level rise, specifically in Stinson Beach, and some mitigation efforts that are going to be getting underway. There are already underway. It's a big project. You know, I know that the USGS has recently released a report stating that sea level rise here in the Bay Area is going to be more destructive than maybe previously thought, taking things into account. So according to a press release from the county, it says this project is likely going to begin this May and continue through June 2024. What are some of the first things that people in Stinson Beach might expect to see happening this May? Or is it not as concrete as that?
It's fairly concrete. We're in the really fun part of when you get a grant of, you know, you have the grant, but you have to do a lot of paperwork to actually get the money.
Yes, we're familiar with that over here at KWMR for sure.
but we anticipate the project really kicking off in earnest in May. And the early steps of the project, first of all, the community in Stinson Beach and West Marin in general, brief rewind to the previous question, or I guess just general information about the project is we're focusing, so the Community Development Agency really focuses on sea level rise planning and adaptation for all of West Marin. That adaptation report that I laid out, or that I mentioned earlier, laid out a process for community scale adaptation planning and recommended that we undertake that process in all seven of the West Marin communities. As we started thinking about that, it became clear that it was not quite feasible or realistic or really the best option in general to do it simultaneously for all seven communities. So we landed at doing Stinson through this grant first because of a variety of factors, among them being that from the vulnerability assessment, it was kind of identified that it was the earliest impacted, not necessarily the most severe, but the most near-term impact, and therefore there was a little more urgency in terms of starting to plan earlier. But it ultimately will be a very holistic process that will be iterated in all the other communities. So although this project is focused on the Stinson Beach community, we will do community outreach and engagement involving people all across West Marin. So that was kind of a side note to start off what people can expect in May is we're going to be out there engaging with the community. Well, maybe not physically out there. We'll see how COVID, you know, moves forward. But eventually we'll be out there and we will be through our screens engaging with the community from the get-go, probably even before May, making sure that everybody knows what's going on and all of their questions are addressed in terms of what the purpose of the project is, and we can really start designing the project so that it's beneficial for everybody. The first kind of more concrete steps are that we are going to do a quick update to the vulnerability assessment that was published in 2016. As science does, it progresses, and there's been some updates in terms of from the state of California and just the state of climate change and sea level rise science that we would like to fold into the vulnerability assessment to make sure that we're planning with the most updated science in mind and the most updated projections in terms of what we should expect with sea level rise into the future. And then another early project phase is that this grant includes a sizable chunk of funding to do a Stinson Beach visitation and youth survey that we're really excited about and kind of feeds into the broader, like, large emphasis on making this a community-driven, stakeholder-driven planning process. So we know that Stinson Beach has permanent residents. It has people with second homes out there, but also as anybody who's been to Stinson Beach, especially in the last year, knows, millions of people go to Stinson Beach every year to recreate. We have reason to believe that people use the beach as a for heat relief during extreme heat events, and that it's a resource that's used as a free or low-cost recreational and natural resource by people across definitely the Bay Area and perhaps, not perhaps, certainly beyond. So we want to try and engage not just the permanent residents of Stinson Beach in this planning process, but as many people that use the community as a resource as possible. And doing this visitation and use survey, which we plan to do both in person on the ground, asking questions about, you know, where are you coming from? How often do you come? How do you get here? Sort of thing. And using this kind of new groundbreaking science approach of cell phone data, like GPS pings, to really get a picture of who is coming to the beach, who's using the beach, and then go the next step of trying to work with, once we know where people are coming from, working with community-based organizations in those locations to involve those people in the planning process. So those are kind of the early stages of the project, and it will run through 2024. So there's a lot of other steps that get us from there to the end.
I think it's so interesting, this connection you're making between climate change impacts as well as visitation and tourism impacts in Stinson Beach. And it's an intersection I hadn't necessarily connected, but you're absolutely right. I remember during fire season last year and during the big heat waves, I live in Bolinas, and I think the same could be said of Bolinas as Stinson Beach in terms of visitorship in some ways. People who are, you could say in that moment, are escaping climate change fueled weather events are coming out to the coast. It makes me think about the big parking lot at Stinson Beach, just to get a little bit into some of the bigger details. I know that's where East Coot Creek comes out to the ocean. I was just there a few weeks ago here on a relatively dry winter, and it's pretty boggy and wet there. How does the work that the County of Marin is doing in or planning in Stinson Beach, how much of that involves that big parking area there? Because I know that's been a problem with flooding in the past.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So this project, as it implies from its name, the Stinson ARC Adaptation and Resilience Collaboration, is going to be and already is a very highly collaborative project. That parking lot is owned by the National Park Service, and they actually have an ongoing parking lot redesign. I don't know if they'd call it a redesign. They have a parking lot planning project ongoing in this moment. And I actually recently was on a call where somebody gave a presentation about that project. They have plans for the parking lot that we will stay in constant communication with them. So it's going to be a highly collaborative project because there's super complex ownership in terms of who owns what parts of Stinson Beach and the community as a whole, between the National Park Service, Marin County Parks, private landowners, the Greater Fairlawn's National Marine Sanctuary. There's a complex web of ownership that we need to make sure that we're fully aware of what those landowners are planning already for their properties so that we can wrap it all into, we're able as a community development agency to take this holistic look that the kind of smaller landowners can't necessarily take. So that was a very long-winded answer to the parking lot has an ongoing planning process through the National Park Service that we will fold into this project and assess whether it's going to adequately address sea level rise threats or whether we need to kind of further that adaptation planning process through our project as well.
It makes a lot of sense. And yes, the intersection of agencies and property owners and interested parties must be quite a lot to navigate. Well, Heather Dennis, I thought we could take a moment to maybe zoom out a little bit. Your title, if I'm correct, at the County of Marin is a long-term planner. And I thought our listeners would be interested to know a little more about what that means, more broadly speaking. It sounds like a challenging thing to do when it comes to something such as sea level rise that is so dynamic. And as you mentioned earlier, with the science changing yearly. Let's see, what am I trying to get at here? I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about this concept of long-term versus short-term planning. To what degree is your job about, fixing problems that are presenting themselves to us now? And to what degree is it about sort of anticipating things that may be coming down the line?
That is an excellent question. Quickly, a current planner at the Community Development Agency for the County of Marin is who folks apply for permits for development right now from, and that is a very different job than what my job is as a long-range planner, particularly focused on sea level rise. It is challenging, like you said, in terms of changing sea level rise projections, along with many other things. But I would say that some of it is the cool thing about sea level rise / not that cool from a nerdy science perspective is that we can, with these things, with extreme tides that happen a couple times a year or extreme storm events, we actually do get a little bit of a window into what the future may look like with more permanent sea level rise inundation. So in the Bay Area, we can generally say that these king tides that happen a couple times a year that are extreme astronomical tides that happen based on the positioning of the Earth and the Moon and gravitational forces, that basically just mean the water goes up really, really high and goes out really, really low a couple times a year. And in the Bay Area, those king tides at high tide are roughly equivalent to about a foot of sea level rise. So we can go out and look at what the flooding looks like in those moments and really start to picture what the future will look like. So there absolutely is some tie to current events, as well as, there's flooding that happens during those events, or there is ongoing flooding that happens in big winter storms or just heavy winter, wet winters in general from East Goot Creek and Bolinas Lagoon already. So some of it is kind of looking at those impacts and thinking about what it would look like if that water didn't retreat, which is really what we're talking about with sea level rise, is more permanent inundation rather than this kind of ebb and flow of the storm surge events or extreme tide events. And then really, you kind of hit the nail right on the head that long range planning is really challenging, especially for something like sea level rise, where the projections as to when we're going to see what level of sea level rise are changing as the science progresses it's changing based on our actions in terms of how much carbon is going into the atmosphere and all sorts of variables. But luckily, kind of the field of long-range planning, especially with climate change, has kind of developed some tools to help deal with that. So this project will be taking what is known as an adaptation pathways planning approach. So rather than basically saying, okay, this neighborhood is vulnerable and the adaptation strategy we must do, the one adaptation strategy we must do is raise the road and the houses. We're not going to do that with this project. Instead, and generally adaptation planning is moving away from that because A, it's extremely expensive, it's not always feasible permitting-wise or financially. There's all sorts of potential obstacles there. So we are going to kind of be both short-term or near-term, long-term, and then mid-term and long-term, thinking about adaptation strategies for a given vulnerability. So we'll identify Calle del Arroyo floods at this area, and we need to do something about it to make sure that people can still get to their homes. So we'll come up with, we'll say, okay, based on current projections of sea level rise, it's only going to flood a couple times a year until, you know, 2030 or something. Mm-hmm. That is a made-up number.
Sure, sure.
So until then, we can put some sandbags out, and it'll solve our problem. And it's cheap, and it's feasible, and we don't need to get any crazy permits to do it. But while we're doing that, we're also going to think about this midterm solution to the problem. So while we're putting the sandbags out, there's some mysterious midterm adaptation strategy that will last a little bit longer or maybe significantly longer than those sandbags will when the flooding, and then we'll identify triggers or thresholds for when we move. So, you know, once the sandbags aren't doing the job or once that road floods, you know, 10 times a year, we're going to move to this midterm solution. But we've already gone through the process of getting the permits and getting the money so we can actually make it happen when we need to make it happen. And then we'll also come up with a long-term solution to address the vulnerability, which may be raising that road or those homes, or maybe it's, you know, some sort of other long-term solution that has yet to be discussed. But yeah, that's kind of how we're approaching the uncertainty and the challenges of long-term planning, is having this phased approach with signals as to when we need to move from the near, mid, and long-term solutions.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Heather Dennis, thank you so much for taking some time to come share this valuable information with our listeners. And friends out there, if you are interested in this topic and want to explore some more, you can visit marinslr.org. Anything else you'd like to share with our guests, Heather? Or our listeners, Heather?
No, I think I was going to make a plug for marinslr.org also. So if you want to learn more, hit that up, and we'd be happy to have you involved in the process.
Well, fantastic. Thanks again for joining us on Epicenter.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org.